ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. I am the original podcast. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. So straight up, I'm a four-time Gold Glove champion. I've won some awards for my writing. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average boxing fan knows more, especially after last night's score upset. Man, who saw it coming? Of course, George Kambosos. 13-1 underdog, thought to be a guy who's going to get knocked out in the first or the second round. What happened? He goes out there, he knocks down the defending champion in the very first round, Teofimo Lopez, puts him on his butt. Lopez's chin is suspect now, and it has been. Of course, he got knocked out twice in sparring in the last year. We'll get into that a little bit later. But the bottom line is, after 12 rounds, the guy from Australia won a clear decision. In my mind, it was 115-112. One judge had it 115-112. One judge had it 115-111. The other judge, unbelievably, had a 113-112 for Lopez. What fight was he watching? Bottom line is, Doug Trella, you should probably be banished from boxing. Don't give a guy a second chance. Bottom line is, once they turn in a scorecard like that once, they're done. That's it. Get rid of them. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Tower of Power to the Break. Of course, we'll spend some time with Kenny Rain for this hour, and we'll hear from Mike Tyson and his ex-wife, Robin Gibbons. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, coming to you on Veev TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC
with Pedro Fernandez.
We thought Errol Spence, the undefeated champion, 147 pounds, or one of the champions at 147, was going to take on Virgil Ortiz, the undefeated lad, of course, from Texas as well, in the Battle of Texas. Now, they talked about this. The fight was allegedly signed. Then Terrence Crawford sort of broke away from Bob Arum, and he won last week, of course. Crawford looked impressive beating Sean Porter, no doubt about that. Of course, it was a stoppage. But at the end of the night, Crawford's stock rose significantly. Errol Spence's stock didn't rise much, of course, and it hasn't risen much because of the fact he got tossed out of that car at 115 miles an hour about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I just don't think he'll ever be the same. Of course, has he performed admirably? Not really. I think Spence is toast. I really do. I think that when he and Crawford mix, I think Crawford will beat him. I think he's a better fighter, the stronger fighter, and the bottom line is Terrence Crawford is ghetto, and I think I don't think Earl Spence is ghetto enough. He tries to be ghetto. He tries to, like, buy a $10,000 handgun and drive around a Ferrari and things like that, but guess what? It didn't work. Anyway, Spence, Crawford, looks like that's going to happen because Al Haymon has both of them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The talk of Virgil Ortiz sort of went away now, and it's going to be Spence and Crawford. I think that's going to happen next. I expect it to happen probably before maybe March of 2022, if we're lucky, March of 2022. I kid you not, the big welterweight showdown between undefeated Errol Spence, which is like 31 years old, of course, 34 years old, Terrence Crawford, coming off that big win last week over Sean Porter. Of course, last night, wow, Teofimo Lopez getting decked in the first round, losing the World Lightweight Championship in a very, very competitive fight. When I say competitive, is that there weren't fights, there weren't rounds where like he was like getting drubbed, but every round that Teofimo Lopez lost, and he lost a lot of rounds on my scorecard. Of course, I had a 115-112. I think I scored one round even, but he lost a lot of rounds, and when you lose rounds, you know, they can be competitive, they can be close, but you've lost the rounds, like the 11th and the 12th round. After Kambosos, George Kambosos, that's right, circle that name, get used to it. He is a new lightweight champion of the world, the unified world lightweight champion. Nobody else can claim a title at 135. It's like Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia. We can go on that in a little bit. But the bottom line is, last night, He took all the belts away from Teofimo Lopez, and he did it in convincing fashion. The judge, as I said, 115-111, 115-112, and then that one judge, Doug Trail, 113-112. Doug, you live there somewhere in Connecticut? Man, what a terrible score that was. I mean, how could you get up this morning and look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm an honest guy. Did you puke after you said that? I mean, you would have to. You're either dishonest. Sorry, Don, I don't know you personally, but I am an Association of Boxing Commissions registered judge. I passed the judge exam many, many times. Okay, but the bottom line is, for you to see a fight that was convincingly one way, for you to see it 113 to 112 for the other guy, in other words, you were like 6 points off my score, 6 rounds off my score, I consider that insulting. I really do. 6 rounds off the scores of the other two judges, I consider that insulting. You should be arrested for impersonating a judge. No doubt about it, you'll probably get more job assignments. You'll probably get more judging assignments based on the fact you look like you're going to be a hometown type of guy. You want to bet, hey, we need a guy that's going to go for the hometown guy. Wink, wink. Is it time to get Doug Trail? Might be. Bottom line is, Doug, I hope you never score a professional boxing match again in your life. Now, we switch gears. Showtime last night, the Park MGM. That's the place where Bruno Mars hangs out now. Exclusively in Las Vegas. Of course, I saw Bruno there like a month ago. He was rocking and rolling. I think he's like the greatest. I do. I've seen Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Teddy Pendergrass. I can go on and on and on and on. Prince. And Prince and Bruno are pretty close. But, you know, Bruno's still alive and Prince died. So the bottom line is Bruno's probably going to pass him up. But in all of the stage performances I've ever seen, Bruno, Prince, and Michael Jackson are probably the top three. And guess what? Michael Jackson is not in the top one or two of that one. Anyway, bottom line is, Park MGM played host last night to a great fight. Of course, these guys hooked it up at 122 pounds, the WBO and WBC title unification. Brandon Figueroa, he was furious. I mean, this guy went absolutely berserk after losing a majority decision. One score had it 114-114, a draw. The other judge had it 116-112 and 116-112. For Mr. Fulton, of course, Fulton was a slight favorite going in some sports books. Then I saw another couple of sports books where the other guy was favored. Figueroa was favored. Figueroa was a warrior. He came. He threw a lot. He dished out a lot. I don't know what the scorecards were because I didn't really study the fight. If I don't study the fight and watch it 12 rounds, I'm not going to base an opinion based on what I saw on the judges' scorecards and this and that. I just let it go. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, one guy was pissed off. The other guy was a winner. We have a new WBC and WBO 122-pound champion. His name is Stephen Fulton. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA, of course, pound for pound. Canelo Alvarez is going to take on the cruiserweight champion. That's no big thing. I think in my mind, he's got the cruiserweight champion coming down to 190 pounds. But he's still going to be giving up 25 pounds or 30 pounds in size, natural size, in a boxing ring. And is that good? Probably not. Even if you're fighting a bum, and the guy's not a bum. He's not a bum. He's just so big. But even if you were fighting a bum and giving up 25 or 30 pounds, that's still a lot of weight to give up. It really is natural weight. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's going to go down in May. That'll be in Mexico. The big homecoming for Canelo Alvarez is going to take place May 2022 in Mexico. Of course, pound for pound, we've got Tyson Fury, the slob that he is. Jim Lampley calls him a slob. That's what he called him, a big fat slob. Of course, the former face, the voice of HBO boxing. No, was he the voice? Jim was the voice. Jim was like the quarterback. And then Harold was a voice. I mean, Harold Letterman's voice was the most unique voice I've ever heard in my life. I miss Harold so much. And, of course, then you had the retired HBO godfather who we heard from in hour number two, Larry Merchant, jump in and do his thing. But that was a great team. And now when I watch these teams on TV and Mr. Mannix and all these guys, kind of guys, I mean, I give you guys a lot of credit. You guys aren't bad, but you're not upper echelon. You're just really not. I don't know what's happening with DAZN. DAZN can't seem to get it together. They've got all the money going on. They've got Barry Hearn backing them for the most part, and they can't seem to put together a really solid broadcast team. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't too impressed with the team last night, no doubt about that. Now, what I was impressed with, though, overall, was Mr. George Kambosos. Can I say, man, give him his props. I mean, people are praising him here on the internet this morning. He had no chance last night. I mean, going in, he had, like Don King would say, he had two chances, slim and none, and slim just left town. I mean, people were talking about him, what round he was going to get knocked out in, not what round he would win in, what round he would get knocked out in. And for him to come out with that Muhammad Ali Castellano strategy of throwing the best right hand you could in the first round, he threw it, he dropped him. Of course, Teofimo had been dropped twice by a guy named Jose Rayo Valenzuela, who was an amateur who turned pro recently, and he dropped Teofimo twice. In fact, what happened was he dropped him the first time, knocked him out in the gym with the big gloves on, the big headgear on, and then the father said, Teofimo's father, of course, the erstwhile father that he has anyway. Bottom line is the corner man, the trainer, invites the amateur back to spar Teofimo again, and he knocks him out again. He knocked him out twice. So the guy's been knocked out twice with the big gloves on. You know, and I mean, I got beat up in boxing matches. Ernie Chavez stopped me in the second round in the 147-pound National Golden Gloves there in Las Vegas. And I've been, you know, but not like that. Just not like that. I mean, you just, listen, he got destroyed. Getting destroyed in a boxing ring is just not a fun thing to do. It's just not, especially when your ego's crushed. You've got a big ego going in. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you got everything's on the line, and then you lose. It's tough to face losing. I mean, I remember the first time I lost a fight. I couldn't believe it. I absolutely was like mind blown because I had won all these little cheap fights, these little 1 minute rounds, these smoker fights when I was a kid. You know, I said, hey, I could beat anybody in a minute. But then we went to 2 minutes, and this guy named Eddie Smith took me to school. He took me to school and he flunked me out. Occasionally, a 2 minute round. I was saying to myself, this is no problem. This is no problem. I was looking at Eddie. I said, Eddie can't fight too much, can he? Well, Eddie was experienced, and Eddie had went two minute rounds before, so it wasn't no big thing. Eddie watched me get tired real fast, and it was all over. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, I learned how to fight the tough way by losing the first time. Remember what my mother said to me that day later that day. She said to me, you know, if you're going to continue, I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself. I said, embarrass myself? What are you talking about, Mom? What do you mean embarrass myself? What do you mean? She goes, well, you got tired. You're not going to get tired anymore if you want to continue boxing. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, I'm going to run you. And that's when she became my running coach. I kid you not. And she ran me for the most of my boxing career as far as winning 4 Golden Glove championships. She was a running coach. She drove the car. She smoked cigarettes, chain smoked cigarettes as she drove. And she cussed at me and honked a horn when I wasn't running fast. That's what got me up to snuff. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
This night, the referee is going to be the most important man in the ring other than the fighters.
He went in. He went in. Huh?
Come on, Roy. You got to, Johnny, you got to f***ing do it. You got to do this. And Roy is doing everything, man. Come on.
Norman Stone just called his fighter Roy.
This motherfucker!
This is it, John.
Fight him! Go and get him. Go on, fight this guy!
Your hands up. You think you go to the body, you come up to the head. Come up
to
the head!
Fight him!
Come on, Johnny!
Fight him!
He's taking your f***ing title away from you!
The referee sucks!
All you work for!
The ref sucks! Fight him! The referee!
Come on!
Get out there, fight him!
Come on!
Fight him! The referee sucks!
Come on, John!
The referee sucks!
The gentee! See what you're all about now, all right? Well, let's see what you're all about.
Come on, come on, come on.
One more round.
Get out of my corner. Get out of my corner. Get out of my corner.
Fight behind
I'm going to fight up you better.
I'm going to fight behind
I'll take the He held the whole fight.
Johnny, come on and go get him, Johnny.
He held the whole fight. Come on,
come on.
Come on. That's why you're pissed off at Cortez. You said you want to take it a point. Now I know.
You
got to
keep
your arm.
Get in the
back. One of the good things that's happening is here, we'll probably never have to see Norman Stone again.
That'd be good.
Larry was wrong. We ended up seeing Norman Stone again. They call him Stoney, this and that. Of course, I remember when I did the Evander Holyfield, John Ruiz fight at the Paris Hotel. What was it, 2004? 2000. Of course, Evander Holyfield winning that day. But the bottom line is John Ruiz, the most unheralded heavyweight champion in the history of boxing, without a doubt. And he lost to Roy Jones Jr., of course, was a middleweight moving up. So that says a lot about him. Bottom line is, let's take it to the UK and bring him boxing's number one ambassador. I'm talking about Mr. Kenny Rainford. And Kenny, how are you? How's your daughter doing?
Oh, they're all doing great. Everyone's doing fine.
That's good. And let's talk about last night's fight. Of course, did you stay up to watch that this morning?
I watched it on replay this morning.
Okay. And you're impressed? Were you impressed with Mr. Kambosos? I certainly was.
Oh, man, he came to win that fight. He came to win that title, win them titles, should I say. And you know, Lopez fell for the trap. He told him what he was going to do. He was waiting for him. And for me, Lopez fought a, you know, he fought a great fight, but a bad fight at the same time. Early on, he showed the right hand, showed it. Kambosos countered it to death with the left hook. But the ninth and tenth round, when Lopez came to life, I think if he'd have put the gas down, there's a chance in the tenth that he could well have stopped Kambosos.
He didn't have the gas, Kenny. He doesn't have the gas at 135. No. He doesn't have it.
No. You're right. But I'm just, in an ideal world, if he had it, you know, the opportunity was there, and he missed it.
Well, he says he has problems making 135 pounds. This was his first title offense. Of course, they had five or six postponements, this and that. But you know what? He should have got himself a dietitian. I mean, he should have done this professionally. In other words, I don't know if his father was running the diet and cooking for him and things like that. But he should have done it as professional as he could. I don't know if they did a street or they did a professional. But the bottom line is, at the end of the night, he definitely lost. Of course, now we've got, you know, I thought it was so great that the champion called out Devin Haney right afterwards. I mean, there's been a log jam in 135 pounds with these guys not wanting to do things, not wanting to fight each other. All the big names in 135, they need to fight.
Oh, yeah. But we're back to the age-old statement, though. Boxing today is more of a business than fighting the number one contender.
Okay, well, all right. I can go with that to that extent. But is Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, if that happens, and both these guys hook it up, they're undefeated at 147 pounds. Crawford's 34 now, and Spence is 31. How does Sir Kenny see that?
I see that as a great fight, and I really do hope we do get to see it. And I'm not sure at this moment in time which way I would go on that. I really wouldn't. Okay. I really wouldn't. I'm tending to lean towards to Spence in a slight way, but it wouldn't surprise me if Crawford beat him.
Okay, so here's what's up. If you stick with Spence, you and I could bet a soda on that one.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
We'll bet a soda on that one. Now, boxing, Larry Merchant, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but boxing's been on a roll. All these fights have been in sold-out, packed arenas, even though last night's arena only held a few 5,000 people, something like that. But the bottom line is, there have been packed-out arenas all around the world. Boxing's back. If they put the fights together, people will come out. Are promoters starting to? Do you think promoters are going to learn from this, or are they going to go back to sticking it to us next year?
I think at this moment in time, we've got to mention that horrible thing, the pandemic again. That's showing its face in Europe again. Oh, hopefully, no. It doesn't come back with a vengeance. I think promoters are still in that climate of being weary and scared of something going down. But, boxing is not the same without a crowd. You need a crowd out of boxing.
No doubt about it. You brought up COVID. Claire Burke is a boxing manager extraordinaire from Detroit, in the Detroit area. She got vaccinated, and then she got the COVID. She got COVID this week, and she said she gave it to her daughter, which was unfortunate. But she didn't end up in the hospital. She got COVID and didn't end up in the hospital. This is why you want to get vaccinated, so you don't end up in the hospital afterwards.
Yeah, this is the big thing. That, you know, I know several people in the nursing industry, and they're telling people, listen, the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting the COVID. What it does, it stops you from getting accelerated side effects of the COVID. You know, the loss of the use of lungs, you know, the heart defects that can come from it.
Yeah.
This is what people have got to understand and be educated about. The vaccine is not a cure. It's merely a preventative measure if you do get it. To reducing the risks of the damage caused by it.
Why do you think you're in the UK? I'm here in the United States. Why do you think that's so hard to get across to people, to a certain percentage of the population? They don't want to get vaccinated. This and that. I mean, what world are they living in?
To be fair, Pedro, what a lot of people, there's loads of scaremongering in this country. there's quite a few people, athletes, that have developed heart defects just lately. And they're saying, oh, have you been double jabbed? Yeah, I've been double jabbed. And they're linking it to all this kind of stuff. And you know, they're also saying it's a vaccine that hasn't been tested long enough. And, you know, you're always going to get these scaremongers coming out with these statements. And, you know, you can understand, you know, certain people who perhaps don't understand how a vaccine works, you know, going along with it.
But not after millions of people have died and then we took the vaccine and we stopped dying to when he said those who took the vaccine are not dying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what they've got to be educated about, you know.
A good point. Yeah, that's nice that you put it that way, educated. Tyson Fury, what's he going to do next?
Well, you know, he's got a short list at the moment of fighters he wants to fight. He's not going to be around for a long time, I'm afraid. He definitely wants Anthony Joshua, as we all know about that. He definitely wants Usyk. Mm-hmm. If that fight can be made, and he's also talking about a possible fight with, you know, to in between fights, Andy Ruiz. He's interested in the Andy Ruiz angle because he beat Joshua. These are the fights that's going to motivate him to train as hard as he needs to with all the money he now has with being world champion.
Jim Lampley, the former face of HBO, called him a fat slob. Do you think that's fair?
He's just genetically put together that way. That's all. He trains hard. You know, he's never out the gym. He's not what you would call a guy that trains to the point of exhaustion. He just plods his way through his training sessions, but he's always in the gym, always doing something. And he works reasonably hard, you know. He's just genetically, he's just not put together well. He's not a Ken Norton. He's not a Ron Lyle. He's not one of those kind of, you know, builds, you know. He's just a guy that is enormously talented, enormously big, but unfortunately he's not an Adonis.
Okay, now a good point. Now you are enormously talented. Last night you were refereeing where and when? What was going on?
I was refereeing some fights in Nottingham in a club there, and talk about a crowd. It was a sellout like you wouldn't believe.
Were they wearing masks?
Nope.
Ooh.
Nope. Ooh. No, they weren't. Okay. Masks weren't obligatory, I'm afraid. No, they didn't wear masks.
Okay.
No.
Pound for pound right now, Kambosos has got to be mentioned on the pound for pound list because he beat one of the guys who's in the top five as far as Teofimo Lopez is concerned. Did we go too far in giving Lopez that rating? We give it to him too fast based on one fight?
I think we did because we just haven't seen enough of him, you know, at real, real high level. I don't think, you know, Canelo for me is the pound for pound kid at the moment. Okay. Are we gonna see him making a mistake challenging cruiserweights? I think that could possibly be a step too far for him.
But if he loses to a guy that big deal.
Yeah, you know, no one's gonna care. And you know, there's been a fight announced in the UK for February 19th at the MEN Arena. Amir Khan against Kell Brook. The fight should have happened
3-4 years ago. Yeah, poor. You know, Kell Brook, and I feel sorry for both those guys, Kell Brook and Amir Khan, but neither of them could take too well, and that might be the battle of the no chins.
Correct.
Anyway, Kenny, correct. How is your daughter riding competitively this week or what?
Not this week, not week. She's been in training this week, but she's due to compete real soon. She got a first and a second last time out. She's doing great.
Fantastic. Continued success and good health to the entire family, Kenny.
God bless you, man.
The great Kenny Rainford, boxing's UK ambassador of goodwill. No doubt about that, appearing exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Straight up, we'll talk with, take that back. We'll bring in Mike Tyson and Robin Gibbons after break. And, of course, we'll have some more fun. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, with Pedro Fernandez.
So check this out. It's the 1990s. Mike Tyson's just got married. Of course, he's going to marry who? Robin Givens. Robin Givens, of course, was a semi-television actress. I think she did something in some TV shows, and she tried to do some B-rated movies, things like that. In other words, for the most part, she was just a skank. That's a compliment. For Robin Givens, that is a compliment. I've never seen a woman that's been so money-driven in my entire life. The bottom line is, here's what happened when Mike Tyson and Robin Givens hooked up.
Hi, welcome back to Love Connection. Told you we'd be back in 2 and 2. Our next guest says she likes her men to be very wealthy. Let's say hello to Robin Givens. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Charles.
Don't ever call me Charles. I'll go off. So, Robin, tell us about this wealthy thing.
Chuck, I don't want people thinking that I'm the type of woman who's only interested in the size of a man's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that are just as important.
Like what?
Well, like what's in the wallet. Am I right? Thank you.
Okay. Well, Robin, last time you were here, you picked a man to go out with. Now you're back to tell us how it went. Let's say hello to Mike Tyson.
How you doing, Chuck?
Hi there, Mike. How are you?
Well, I gotta say, I'm really ecstatic to be here.
All righty then. Robin, tell us how the date started.
Well, at first I call Michael, and of course things didn't go very well because he's just a boxer from Brooklyn, and of course I was a Harvard medical student.
You, Mike, what did you think of Robin?
Oh, well, Chuck, when I first saw Robin, I was ecstatic. I mean, she had this really tight dress on, you know, the kind with the push-up bra, and her breasts were, like, popping right out, like, hitting right in the eye, you know? And as soon as I saw him, Chuck, I said, wow, I'm in love, you know?
Sounds like you two really hit it off. So where'd you go first?
Well, first, Chuck, we went to this lovely little jewelry store where I allowed Michael to purchase me a very lovely ruby, diamond, and sapphire collection and a matching car.
Sounds nice. You give Mike anything?
Lithium.
It made me feel really ecstatic, Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we know, Michael. We know.
So, where'd you go next?
Well, then we went to the most beautiful little wedding chapel where my mother was waiting with the justice of the peace, and we got married! Thank you very much.
Mike, what did you think of Robin's mother?
Well, I gotta be honest, Chuck, I wasn't too ecstatic. You know, I looked at her mom, the first thing I thought was, wow, this lady really needs a hair weave. And I'm sorry, Robin. I'm really sorry, darling, but your mom's head, her forehead is just way too big. And she just has too little hair to cover it. You know? But I tell you something, though. What really separates Robin from her mom is class. Because the Franks were still bothering me because I had a boiled egg, too. And I kind of cut one in the car, you know? And her mom made a big stink out of it.
Ron, we're almost out of time. Tell us about the rest of the date.
Well, Charles, after the bank, the lithium began to wear off, and Michael went a little wild.
Oh,
didn't
come
you,
on, Robin.
What happened, Mike?
Oh, well, Chuck, it was really simple. It was quite innocent. You know, I was in the parking lot picking up the car, I'm waiting on Robin and her mom, and I see this girl. She has a really nice butt. So I walk over, I go, hi, my name is Mike, and then I shove my tongue down her throat, you know? And this guy comes over and goes, hey, that's my mother. So I punch him in his gut, you know, and he started making little moving noises. It was pretty funny. He was like, oh, God, I'm bleeding internally. It was pretty funny, you know? And it reminded me of the Bone Crusher Smith fight where I hit him in his third rib and then tried to push his nose up into his brain, you know? And I came up with a rib.
Whoa, ding, ding.
Down.
Ding. Wow, that was quite a date. Let's see who our audience picked for you. Was it Mike? John Kennedy Jr. or Donald Trump? They picked Mike by 41%. So if you two would like to go out again, ultimately, Mike will pay for it.
Well, there is a lovely little fur salon I'd like to go to. Michael, I wouldn't mind.
What about you, Mike? Well, be sure to come back and tell us about it. Hey, Mike, maybe I'll see you on Scrabble sometime. Yeah, right.
Hey, ecstatic. E-X-K-I-T. All right?
Are you going to tell him he's wrong? Well, that's it, folks. I'm Chuck Woolery. Until next time, may all your dates be a matter of public record.
Mike Tyson, Robin Givens appearing on Love Connection. Of course, that was part of the In Living Color TV show. That was back circa 1992. Man, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. Straight up, Devin Haney. Of course, Devin Haney, he's got a WBC title as well. I'm going to try to get Mauricio on the show next week to figure out what's going on with the WBC title as far as the logjam. Now, listen, with the fact that Kambosos won the title last night, beating Teofimo Lopez, there's no rematch clause involved. Lopez was that confident he was going to win, as was Vasyl Lomachenko, so confident over Lopez that he didn't put a rematch clause in his contract either. Bottom line is a lot of cocky guys. Cocky guys don't always finish first. Last night, Kambosos was cockier. He did finish first. Of course, now he is the lightweight champion. Devin Haney, his next opponent, he will be in Las Vegas for this fight. I'm talking about Devin Haney and Joseph Diaz. I think they're going to fight in Las Vegas. December the 14th, of course, Haney undefeated, 25-26 and zip out of the city by the bay, San Francisco. Of course, Joseph Diaz, once beaten fighter. They call him the pit bull. He can bring it, but is he big enough to fight with Devin Haney? See, people say he's got some size issues as far as 130, 135 is concerned. Now, the following day, that's going to be Saturday, Sunday boxing, right on. They got a good thing going on here. WBA regular lightweight title, whatever that means, 135-pound belt. Gervonta Davis taking on Isaac Cruz. Isaac Cruz, of course, stepping in for Rolly Romero. Rolly Romero, very colorful. He's a guy that wears fur jackets in 85-degree weather. I don't know if he was trying to be a pimp because he wasn't looking very pimpish. He was looking sort of like squirrelish. But the bottom line is Rolly was accused of sexual assault by not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six different women. Six different women. If you get caught, listen, if you get called out by six different chicks for, like, being beyond aggressive, you're probably guilty. I mean, you probably are. They haven't launched any criminal charges. There's been no civil charges, but Stephen Espinoza, the president or the vice president at Showtime that's in charge of boxing, he pulled Rolly Romero from the card December the 5th and brought in Isaac Cruz instead. Now, Cruz might be a little bit small. We'll see what happens there as far as, and it's all about size. Size and skills. Of course, both Gervonta Davis and Devin Haney both fighting 135 pounds. Kambosos fighting 135 pounds. Ryan Garcia fighting at 135 pounds. All these guys are 135 pounds. They need to fight each other. I mean, it's just, come on, man. What does it take? I mean, what does it take? The money is in fighting each other. Money is not fighting in other guys. Last night, what did Haney say? Haney said something to the point where in his post-fight comments, he said that that Lopez effed up the money. Well, it didn't eff up the money. He had to fight Kambosos. Of course, Kambosos was a fair fighter. He was a good fighter, and he beat him. Now Devin Haney's got to deal with George Kambosos, and I think that's going to be a good fight. I'm not trying to say it will be one-sided one way or the other. It will be a competitive outing because I think that Devin Haney's got great hands. He's got some Sugar Ray Leonard-like moves, but he's not Sugar Ray Leonard. There'll never be another Sugar Ray Leonard. Ray Charles, never be another Ray Charles Leonard, ever, 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 I don't think. But the bottom line is Devin Haney's trying his best to be a Sugar Ray Leonard improv, okay? I don't think it's going to happen, but him and Gervonta Davis, that would be a good fight, or him and Kambosos would be a good fight. In other words, Ryan Garcia would be a good fight. In fact, they could do this all, like, within a couple of months and figure out who's champion once again. In other words, these lightweight titles, of course, all now with Kambosos, maybe they should be vacated after a guy wins all five belts. In other words, maybe he says he can keep one belt and give the other four away. Because, you know, give the other four away, let you come back and prove that you're the real lightweight champion. Because, look, Teofimo won all those belts, but he couldn't defend them. Didn't even come close to defend him, except for that one judge, Doug Trejo. Doug Trejo lives in Connecticut. Doug, I hope that when you walk into the 7-Eleven to get coffee tomorrow morning, or a McDonald's, wherever you happen to go to get coffee in the morning, that they look at you and they say, we're not serving your ass. No, no, go somewhere else and get your coffee, pal, because you tried to screw somebody on television. Either you tried to screw Kambosos from Australia with a, you know, some bogus decision, 113-112, Mr. Lopez, or you're incompetent. It's one or the other. There's no in-between. There's no gray area here. Either you're crooked or you're inept. One or the other, because that was about as one-sided as a fight as you can ever imagine last night as far as these scores were concerned. 115-112, and I was comfortable in that score, without a doubt. 150-111, the other score judge had it, of course. And then you having it 113-112 for a Teofimo Lopez. She'd be arrested for that. Anyway, Vasyl Lomachenko, the aforementioned lightweight champion, former super featherweight champion as well, 130 pounds, of course, taking on Richard Comey. Comey got beat by Teofimo Lopez a while back. Of course, they're going to hook it up December the 11th. That's going to be on ESPN, of course, Top Rank Boxing. I think bringing you that from the small arena, the Garden, what they call the Hulu Arena now. The Hulu Garden, whatever they want to call it. I call it the Felt Forum at Madison Square Garden. But the bottom line is Comey and Lomachenko. Comey's only lost a couple fights. Lomachenko only lost that one fight to Teofimo Lopez. And like, you know, Larry Merchant said that one fight does not make a career. He talked about that with Teofimo Lopez. One fight does not make a career. I mean, and Kenny talked about it as well. You know, we put all this emphasis, we put all this stock in Teofimo Lopez because of the fact that he beat Vasyl Lomachenko, who we thought was, like, unbeatable, even though I picked Lopez to win that fight. I was trying to start some controversy, but the bottom line was Lopez did win the fight. He definitely beat Vasyl Lomachenko. But Lomachenko was considered a god in boxing. But then again, Larry said he hadn't fought enough to become a god. Hadn't fought enough to become a god. He only had 15, 16 fights, something like that. But the bottom line is, of course, he only had that one fight and the one draw. And the one loss, of course, previously was to Orlando Salido when Salido weighed in at like 150 pounds for a 126-pound title fight. Not 150, but the bottom line is Vasyl Lomachenko got lumped up and out-muscled in that fight. But he never lost again until he hooked up with Teofimo Lopez. Now, he comes back after Lopez fight December the 11th, live from the Garden, the Telt Felt Forum, and lost in New York City, Vasyl Lomachenko and Richard Comey. That same day, December the 11th, the WBC Bantamweight Champion, the ageless wonder, Nonito Donaire, 38-0, 7-7-0-7, July 7th, 2007. He knocks out Victor Cheating on television and captures the IBF 112-pound title. That was 14 years ago. And now, again, he is the WBC 118-pound champion, considered one of the better fighters at 118 pounds, even though he's 38 years old. Anyway, he's taking on Raymark Cabello. That's going to come to us from the Dignity Health Sports Center in Carson, Nevada. I guess that's the arena down there, Carson, California. But the bottom line is that's going to be December the 11th as well. December the 11th, Conor Benn and Chris Algieri is going to go. I guess it's going to be in the UK. Without a doubt, it'll be on the Zone. And then on the 11th as well, John Riel Casimore versus Paul Butler. That's on the 11th. Come to us from Dubai. Boxing in Dubai. I was supposed to do boxing in Dubai. I went to Dubai for a two-week session, and I was sick the entire time. Sick as a dog. Didn't get much promotion done. And then when I got to the airport to get back on my plane to come back to San Francisco, the plane was no good. The plane ticket was no good. I had to buy a ticket cash at the airport. Things happen. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live, Worldwide, and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
The wire-haired wonder himself, Don King, supposedly throwing a show in like a month somewhere in Ohio. I'm trying to get a hold of him. He ain't answering the phone. Bottom line is Don don't pick up the phone too often anymore. We'll see what's happening. I'll try to get a hold of him this week. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. If you're watching this show on Twitch.tv or Aviv TV, you see me like rolling my hands back and forth together here. It's cold in this place. Let me tell you, the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City is where David Letterman used to do his show, right? Well, David Letterman always never let them turn on the heater because he said if you kept it cold, the crowd would be more apt to laugh and that kind of good stuff. Well, here I think they're just cheap as far as the utility bill is concerned, and they don't want to turn on the heat. But the bottom line is the studio is freezing and has been freezing for a long, long time, pound for pound. Of course, the King, Saul Alvarez, in action, no doubt about that. He is the man, the king of boxing, 57-1, a couple of draws, of course. And we'll see what happens as far as his future is concerned at 200 pounds, 190 pounds. But the Caleb Plant fight a couple of weeks ago, solid performance, no doubt about that. But he's not the fighter of the year. The fighter of the year is George Kambosos. George Kambosos talked for an entire year. He talked more smack than you could imagine. We got tired of hearing him talk smack. It was the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, nobody, like Don King said, nobody gave him a chance. Okay? But he won, and he won convincingly. So not only is he the fighter of the year for 2021, he is takes part in the upset of the year, upsetting the Teofimo Lopez, of course, a 13-1 underdog, the reigning lightweight champion. So more power to him. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. We come to you Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and supposedly Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. And now, of course, the quick delayed broadcasts are coming to you on VTV. So straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, President Mauricio Sulaiman. We hope to have him on next week. Don't forget the WBC's website. It's interactive. Check it out, WBCboxing.com. Till next time, my man, the king, the producer himself, Mr. Scott Cuddy, runs the show. Thank you so much, Scott. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.